This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, February 20th. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Lawmaker targets foreign ownership, Trump officials trade targets, and SCOTUS watch. Proposed bill would ban some foreign ownership of California land. A new bill seeks to restrict businesses or governments from certain countries, including China, from owning California farmland. The bill, which was introduced by State Senator Stephen Choi of Irvine, would bar countries with non-market economies or countries deemed by the U.S. government to pose risk to the national security of the United States from owning, leasing, or holding any controlling interest in farmland of the state. The Attorney General would be tasked with enforcing the law, and if violations were found, prohibited foreign entities would have 90 days to divest their interest in the land. The ban would apply to future purchases of agriculture land, not current ownership. Keep in mind, the bill comes amid efforts led by the Trump administration in some states to restrict Chinese involvement in U.S. agriculture. Republicans on the House Ways and Means Committee recently initiated an investigation of the National FFA organization over its ties with seed and chemical giant Syngenta. Top trade officials in the Trump administration promised there will be a focus in the coming year on executing completed trade deals and securing new market openings in sub-Saharan Africa. That really is an untapped set of countries with growing populations. Chief Agriculture Negotiator at the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative, Julie Callahan, said at USDA's annual Ag Outlook Forum yesterday, it really offers a lot of opportunity. Callahan speaking just hours after the Commerce Department released 2025 trade figures, offering a glum picture of administration efforts to reduce the U.S. trade deficit to date. The overall trade deficit shrank slightly in 2025, 0.2%. But the goods deficit continued to rise despite President Trump's new tariffs. Imports from China, they fell by 30%, but they rose from other Asian nations. This week, Democrats in Iowa and Minnesota taking aim at the Trump administration tariff policies and their impacts on farmers, but they may be overplaying their hand when it comes to Canadian fertilizers. David Mulbauer, a Democrat on Iowa's Crawford County Board of Supervisors and former U.S. Senate candidate, told reporters that tariffs on farm inputs from Canada, like potash, are straining Iowa producers. The same day, in a statement, Minnesota farmer and state Senate candidate Mark Legvold argued that farmers are getting slammed by tariffs on Canadian fertilizer during the planting season. But Canadian fertilizer exports are covered by a North American trade agreement, and that leaves them exempt from new tariffs. Around 90% of U.S. potash imports and about 10% of urea imports comes from Canada. Emergency tariff receipts on nitrogen and phosphate fertilizers from February to October last year, more than $75 million and $31 million respectively. Potash showed zero new tariff receipts. Potash is, quote, the only major fertilizer of the five major fertilizers that is in line with where grain prices are today. That's the word of StoneX's Josh Linville, speaking with AgriPulse. The Supreme Court could issue a decision in the legality of Trump's tariffs today, more than 3 months after it held oral arguments in the case. Today is a decision day for the court. They never release information on which cases may receive verdicts. If it doesn't come today, then the court has additional decision days scheduled for Tuesday and Wednesday. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas earlier this month opined that the longer the Supreme Court takes in the decision, the better it is for the Trump administration prospects. On his podcast, Cruz said, quote, I think today you're going to get five justices to say we're too far down the road. Too much has been implemented, and this is too core to how this president is implementing foreign policy. President Donald Trump's executive order addressing domestic supplies of glyphosate and elemental phosphorus prompted predictably divergent reactions. Agriculture Retailer Association President and CEO Darren Kopic said, quote, "As implementation moves forward, it is important that the federal actions reflect real-world supply chain dynamics." The executive order's focus on, quote, "strengthening domestic supply chains and maintaining access to key inputs helps support certainty at the farm level and reinforces the resilience of the nation's food system," Kopic said. But environmental groups had a different take. After promising to make America healthy again, the Trump administration is invoking the Defense Production Act to boost production of glyphosate, the most widely used herbicide of the country, classified by the International Agency for Research on Cancer as a probable human carcinogen, the Environmental Working Group said. The DPA is typically reserved for national emergencies and wartime needs, the group said. They noted the Make America Healthy Again movement has called for the removal of the chemical from the market. A new study estimates new ingredient bans and labeling laws in three states would have short-term costs of at least $13.4 billion, with annual costs moving forward of over $12 billion. The study was commissioned by Americans for Ingredient Transparency, a coalition of food industry groups, and conducted by Policy Navigation Group. It found the new laws being enacted in Louisiana, Texas, and West Virginia could require consumers in those states to pay a combined $17.1 billion more per year on groceries, or about 12% more. The report says for an average U.S. family, the increase is, quote, "nearly $860 more a year," as well as, quote, "the equivalent of nearly $200 million a year on extra time deciding their purchases." To carry out some of the new labeling laws, the report estimates food producers will spend approximately $900 million in the first few years redesigning labels and packaging. It also estimates an additional $3 to $4 billion in testing costs for retailers to defend themselves against lawsuits. A new study from the Nature Conservancy, the U.S. Forest Service, and the University of California, Berkeley suggests forest managers should treat land alongside previously burned areas to better prevent future high-severity fires. The study found that low to moderate severity wildfire can reduce flammable surface materials, quote, "essentially treating far more area than mechanical treatments and prescribed fire treatments." It suggests, quote, "forest managers consider working in and around recent wildfire footprints to increase the pace and the scale of fuel treatments." Forest Service research columnist Malcolm North said in a release, "By focusing management on beneficial fire treatment, we can reduce the cycle of high severity fire impacts." Here's today's final word. We'll spend about the same on labor across the country this year as we did last year. That USDA chief economist Justin Benavides providing the department's economic forecast at the department's annual Ag Outlook Forum yesterday. Benavides said the overall farm production cost should be relatively flat this year. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, February 20th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Galley.